This is a Federal News Network podcast.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars sponsored by WEPA. Join NITP for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Welcome to the September 28th, 2020 For Your Benefit radio show. We're here today with David Santana. David's been on the show for many years. David is with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. I have to read that slowly. And he's in the Office of Communications, and his primary communication is health insurance. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Thank you so much for having me back.
Well, thanks for coming. The show is always packed with information that you might not otherwise get. And so we have many things to talk about. So could I ask you this just to get the fire going? Medicare open enrollment period and FEHB, Federal Employees Health Benefit, is approaching. And just overall view, are you open to something that you could say in advance of that? Probably would take the whole hour, but just a general why people would want to pay more attention to this than maybe they normally do?
That is correct, Bob. So we are approaching that time of the year that those individuals that have insurance have opportunity to change the plans they have. Individuals who may not have enrolled also have an opportunity to enroll. So depends on which type of coverage you have is when this time actually occurred. So for federal employees, the open season for this year begins on Monday, November 9th, and ran through Monday, December 14th. And people ask, what is this time frame important? And if I already have coverage, why would I need to worry about this open enrollment? I have a plan, and that plan usually renews every year automatically. So why is this important? Well, the plans that we have do change every year. Their premium change and their benefits change. And so people ask, so how do I know about these changes? So the plans are required to send what we call or what they call an annual notice of change. So they will send you a notification of exactly what's changing with your plan, whether it's a premium, and they're usually going to tell you what changes are they're making to the benefits. Some benefits that may not be as comprehensive or not may be part of the plan for the following year, and some additional benefits that the plan will offer. So those kind of like a couple of examples of things that could change. So this is the time for us to go back and look at the annual notice of change to see what's changing, and more importantly, to go back and compare the plan we have with other plans that are available out there that could help us not just saving, looking for a plan that may charge a lower monthly premium, but also a plan that may offer more benefits or benefits that are important to us. For example, if you have a specific needs or medical needs, and there are some plans that have more comprehensive coverage than others.
So when the folks, when they want to look, it's probably daunting for many people to read all the information for each one of the plans that they're interested in. Are there places like websites to go to that kind of cuts through that and say, here are the bullet points of what makes this plan better than, this is what this plan has. I don't think any of them say this one's better than the other one.
Right. So the OPM website do have the place in there that you can go and make some basic comparison of the FEHB plans for next year. And also, of course, I just mentioned the FEHB plan for federal employees, but Of course, there is the this is the Medicare or the time for Medicare open enrollment as well. Although the Medicare open enrollment happens at a different time, our open enrollment for Medicare is from October 15 through December 7. So you can see that the dates are not necessarily the same. It's around the same time towards the end of the year, but not precisely at the same time as the federal open season. So for us is October 15 through December 7th, and this is also the opportunity for individuals who have private plans within Medicare, or individuals that did not enroll when they were first eligible to enroll in those plans, will have the opportunity to enroll. For Medicare, on their Medicare.gov website, we do have a very comprehensive tool that allow individuals to key in their information and compare the health and prescription drug plans under Medicare. And I said that again, it's a very comprehensive and consumer-friendly or user-friendly tool that individual can compare plans down to the medicines that they take and the pharmacists that they would prefer to use. So yes, there are tools in there to help individuals compare those plans and decide which plan better fit their needs and their budget.
Yeah, and you're aware of the pluses, and I suppose the minuses as well, of the plans, and that's not your job to say this one's better than that one or because of. But do you find that the folks that you talk with find it easier to call you and ask the questions than to maybe ask the questions and during open season of each one of the different plans? Is there a happy median somewhere?
Well, it's definitely, yes, people do call and ask questions about the plans, and they would go as far as say, what plan do you think is better? And there isn't a one plan, like you say, Bob. There isn't one plan that is better for everyone. You do have to do your homework and compare the plans based on what is important to you, because there may be individuals, for example, that they're very healthy, they hardly just go to the doctor probably once a year to do a regular checkup to make sure that everything is fine. And those individuals would be looking for the plans that offer the very basic benefits at the best price. But that same plan may not serve an individual who, for example, has a condition that they need a lot of services. Whether seeing specialists, whether following up with physical therapy, occupational therapy, things like that. That basic plan may not serve that individual that well. So they may have to look for a more comprehensive plan. Although they may pay a little bit more in premium, they will get that back in an additional benefit. So that's just a one example of why the individual need to shop for plans based on their needs and, of course, based on their budget. So you do have to go and compare plans based on those factors.
I'm glad you just said that. We had somebody on the show last year during open season, and the individual was talking about, I believe it was himself, but that's just my gut feel, it wouldn't make any difference. Anyway, he was talking about this person, a federal employee, that developed some issue mid-season, so to speak, not mid-open season, but just between when you can change and when you couldn't. So the reimbursements were not as strong as another plan could be, but he couldn't change. But the good news is he could change during open season because this issue was probably not going to go away quickly. So that's somewhat unheard of. Outside the federal sector, as I'm way outside the federal sector with regards to the benefits and things like that. I don't know that I could, if I had that same example, I don't know if a new plan would take me.
Right, and the good news is, plants nowadays cannot take into account the individual's pre-existing conditions. So when these plants opened up for open season or open enrollment, whatever the case may be, there is no pre-existing condition requirement. So you can change to a plan that may better accommodate your medical condition and your budget. So you are allowed to shop for plans that have a more comprehensive benefits, and again, based on your medical condition and your budget. So that's the good news that yes, they can choose another plan, and no, they cannot take into account pre-existing conditions.
Okay, now I know you go out and give talks on this throughout the year and the like. So when somebody's talking with you, because you know all the plans so well, you might hear what they're saying and you could say, well, there's plan A, there's plan B, maybe there's plan C you ought to look at. And then this would attract you. You can't very well say this is not a good plan for you, but you would look at the positives. And do you get many questions like that when you're in front of a group?
We do, Bob. We absolutely do get many questions about, give us some ideas in terms of because there are many options out there with regards to plan and comparison that people get a little overwhelmed with all the choices they have. So they basically wanted to narrow their comparison field to maybe two or three plans, and that is why we have these comparison tools, because you could narrow your searching field. So for example, if you're looking at a plan, my range, for example, may be between $150 and $250 a month. I wanted to look for a plan that will accommodate my budget. You can, when you go to the comparison tool, you can kind of look at the prices of the plan and say, I'm going to go ahead and compare these three plans to see, because when you pay a lower premium, it usually means that you will pay, for example, you may have a deductible. When you pay a higher premium, that means that you don't have deductibles. So all of these variances are there, and it is important for you to kind of narrow that to two or three plans. So you can do that on the Medicare tool, and I believe I'm not an expert on the tool that you could use at OPM, but you could definitely go there, and I think you can narrow your search field to two or three plans. For our purpose, for Medicare, we do have assistance for individuals who need help with comparing plans. They can call our 800 numbers, 1-800 633-4227. That's a 1-800 Medicare, and people will walk in Medicare beneficiaries or individuals interested in comparing plans towards the process, and kind of asking them simple questions to narrow their search and compare two or three plans to see which plan better meet their needs and budget. We also have, and I think it's not a governmental agency. It's kind of a state agency that help individuals with their individuals' choices or comparing plans. They're called State Health Insurance Assistance Program. And this group of individuals is available in each and every county in the U.S. And again, they're called State Health Insurance Assistance Program. And you could just call 1-800-MEDICARE and ask for them, but they can, these individuals are there to provide unbiased assistance to individuals to help them choose the plan that better meet their needs and budget. And that includes federal employees when they become eligible for Medicare. And I highly recommend individuals who need assistance with the search and they don't want to do it online by themselves, they can call this organization and they will be able to sit down with them or talk on the phone with them to walk them through their options.
Okay, great. Andrew tells us it's time to take a break, and we'll listen to the sponsor of the show, WAPA, and the benefits thereof. And when we come back, got more questions.
Life insurance is a conversation worth having. As a civilian federal employee, you have access to exclusive coverage from WAPA, the life insurance choice of over 46,000 feds and their families. With WAPA Group Term Life Insurance, you can apply for up to $1.5 million in portable coverage at a competitive price. Last year, the average fed who switched saved $375. WAPA is a proud sponsor of For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, Mondays 10:05 to 11 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. WAPA has been insuring the future of feds and their families for more than 75 years. To learn more about life insurance for feds by feds, visit WAEPA.org today.
Welcome back to For Your Benefit. And we're talking with David Santana from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And David's been kind enough, and we were talking before we went on air, and I bet it's been 10 plus years. And I still don't know anything, but I take good notes every year, David. So we're in a situation now where Social Security offices are closed for in-person appointments, as is many places. So how does somebody find out about the different ways to enroll in Medicare? And besides listening to the show.
Well, there are many ways that we go about informing individuals about enrolling in Medicare and when is the best time to go ahead and enroll in Medicare, and so it's important for individuals to know first when they can enroll in Medicare. So I'm going to talk briefly about the times for individuals to enroll in Medicare. And this is particularly important for federal employees, whether they're working or retired. As you know, you become eligible for Medicare when you turn 65. There are two additional groups. If they're getting Social Security disability benefits 24 months later, they become eligible for Medicare. Or if individual who develop at any age who develop end-stage renal disease that requires dialysis or kidney transplant to maintain life. But the majority of people that become eligible for Medicare are those who are turning 65, and individuals ask, when is the best time for me to sign up for Medicare? So we give people 7 months around their 65th birthday to sign up for Medicare. That's your first opportunity to sign in from 3 months before your birthday, the month, and then 3 months after your birthday. Now, individuals who are currently working, for example, federal employees and covered under the FEHB plan, they don't have to enroll in Medicare when they turn 65. So the majority of them wait until they retire. We gave them 8 months special enrollment period after they retired to sign up for Medicare. And there is a last group that if an individual did not sign up at the age of 65 and they are not currently working, so they don't qualify for that special enrollment period, we open Medicare enrollment every year from January through the end of March, January 1st through March 31st. So those are kind of like the three times that people have to enroll in Medicare. So what we are, what Social Security gets a lot are federal employees who are retiring, and then they're looking for ways to sign up for Medicare. Or will be those individuals that did not qualify for a special enrollment will be looking to enroll in Medicare in January through March next year. So they're asking, what happened with the enrollment? The offices are closed. How would I go about enrolling in Medicare? So individuals can now go to the Social Security website, socialsecurity.gov. If they are within that initial enrollment period, within the 3 months of age 65 or older and ready to start or not ready to start collecting Social Security benefits yet, they can still go ahead and go online and sign up for Medicare only. And remember, retirement age, Bob, have gone up, depends on the individual's birthday, up to 67. So although retirement age have gone up to 67, people can still sign up for Medicare at age 65, or they're thinking about retiring later than 65. They can go online and sign up for Medicare only. It only takes 10 minutes to file that application online. Also, individuals, that is particularly important for federal employees that retired and they qualify for that special enrollment period. That process before was a bit complicated to follow, mainly because the individual had to submit an application for Medicare, and also they had to fill up a form that is called CMS L as Larry 564. And the form had two parts. One, you fill in yourself saying, I'm David, I worked for the federal government from this day to this day, and I have health insurance up until this date. And then your employing agency or the retirement office at OPM fill up the other form, the other part of the form. So this form can now be submitted online, including the attestation form, the L-564. And the individual don't have to get the sign from the agency at this time. They can just fill up the form themselves and then download the form online and submit the application online through socialsecurity.gov. So this is great news for people that now qualify for a special enrollment, and they can just go ahead and do that online and submit the application as well as the attestation online. And this was something that was not available before. And of course, they can always call Social Security if they have any questions about where to find the information, or if they don't have access online, whatever the case may be, they can call Social Security at 1-800-772-1213 and ask about ways to go ahead and enroll in Medicare online or submitting an application by mail.
Very good. The folks should know our questions and answers are not scripted, but I'm listening and I'm going, I didn't know I could do that. So let's say you go to one of your, or you listen to one of your broadcasts and somebody said, I didn't know I could do that. But if I change something, you just mentioned there's a lag time. If, let's say you want to do this today or tomorrow, but it doesn't kick in until 30 or 60 days. Am I remembering right?
So depends on when you file the application. Like if we are talking about the special enrollment period, if you're filing an application within that 8 months after you retired, assuming that you retire after age 65, after you become eligible for Medicare, if you file in an application, Medicare will become effective the following month after you file the application. So if you went on today September, Medicare effective day will be October 1st if you file an application this month. If you file an application next year from January through March under that general enrollment period, then the effective date will be different. The effective date will not occur until July of 2021. And during the initial enrollment period, the effective date also would depend on when do you file the application within that 7 month period. So it varies in terms of the different type of enrollment periods, initial, general, or special.
Okay, here's another non-technical question. We're both surprised in our profession sometimes when we hear questions. We kind of think, well, I thought everybody knew that. So in your situation, If you get a question, is there one common one that you maybe get and you just say to yourself, gee, I thought that was common knowledge? No disrespect to the person asking it. It's more, you know, if there were more things like this that were commonly unknown that we both find surprising, it's better to talk about it in advance. So are there certain examples of that where, gee, I didn't know I could do that. Thank you, David.
Well, one of the the common questions that we get with regards to, you know, to Medicare is, you know, it's Medicare based on income. Like people are asking whether my income, based on my income, would I qualify for Medicare? I think a lot of people view Medicare as some sort of a government funded program that is for people with that have limited income and resources. So that's one of the common question that we thought everyone should know, that no, Medicare is for everyone, regardless of your income and resources. So that's one. The other that we get is, I thought Medicare was only for people who are 65 or over. And then you find out that there are many young people enrolled in Medicare, because Medicare is also for people who have end-stage renal disease and people who are getting Social Security disability benefits as well. So that's another common question that we thought that people would know the answer to that, but you know, many people don't know that Medicare. It's also for a group of people that are not 65 yet. And for federal employees, the main question that we get is with regards to enrollment in Medicare. I do have federal employees know that they have FEHB plans, and you know they're using the plans for many years before they retired. And the vast majority of us qualified to take that into retirement. So when they get there, when we're talking about Medicare, they ask, I have FEHB, so why Medicare? You know, why would I need Medicare if I have FEHB? What's there for me? And that question is a little bit more involved, but that's one of the most commonly asked questions that we get from federal employees.
Okay, I have a question from a retired federal employee that came in the email, and here we go. I get mixed signals on whether to apply for Part B Medicare as a retired individual who already has health insurance. I think it's well worth it to pay the Part B premium. So that's the question and the comment.
And there you have that. So that is exactly the kinds of questions that I was just mentioning. It's a very timely question too, with regards to individuals who have federal employee health benefits plan, and they're aging into Medicare, they're retiring, and they're asking, you know, what's there for me with Medicare? So for many, many people, it's well worth it. Is well worth the premium in Medicare. Why? Because both programs combine to provide almost a comprehensive package of health insurance. When you retire and you enroll in Medicare, Medicare becomes your primary health insurance. Medicare pays first, and FEHB pay after Medicare. So FEHB kind of wraps around Medicare and cover any out-of-pocket expenses that the individual may have. They also waive their typical deductibles and co-payments that you have under the FEHB. For example, if you go to a hospital, there may be plans that have $200 deductible. They may not pay for everything there, but Medicare does. Many out-of-pocket expenses that you receive that you have to pay otherwise, under Medicare, FEHB wrapped around and paid. So for many people, yes, it's well worth having Medicare and your FEHB plan, because again, it almost gives you a comprehensive package of benefits. And we'll probably talk a little bit later about the cost, but to address that question, yes, the majority of people will find that it's well worth paying the Medicare Part B premium, because all of the benefits that comes with Medicare and then FEHB wrapping around that and waiving their own deductibles and copayment leave the individual with nothing to pay out of pocket when they receive medical services.
Wow, I think that's a good time for a break. And we'll come back from the break and talk more and hopefully enlighten more as well.
Who do you trust when making your most important decisions? National Institute of Transition Planning has been the trusted source for federal retirement planning, serving new, mid-career, and pre-retirement federal employees for more than 30 years. NITP's subject matter experts bring more than 800 years of collective expertise on federal benefits, financial transition, and estate planning. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com to sign up for their free monthly newsletter and information about free webinars.
Does planning for retirement seem like a daunting task? Is retirement years away? It will arrive sooner than you think. Prepare now to stay on track. Join the thousands of federal employees and retirees who have already attended National Institute of Transition Planning's free monthly webinars to learn more about retirement and financial planning. NITP is the national leader and trusted source for federal retirement information. Visit NITPinc.com to sign up for NITP's free monthly newsletter and webinar.
Well, welcome back. And we're here today with David Santana from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services at HHS. And David's been enlightening everyone, including me. And I don't have a question, David. So next subject, please.
So I think the just following up on the last question that we just discussed. Typically, individuals are kind of juggling around with all the choices they have. And again, just going back to the fact, I have health insurance already, and now I found out that I have more choices. So it is about maximizing, evaluating those choices that we have, and maximizing the benefits that are available to us. So how can you do that? How would you go about doing that? Well, the first thing is just learning a little bit about those choices that you have so you can make an informed decision with regards to enrollment. Specifically when we talked about Medicare. So one of the, I think one of the basic things that we teach federal employees to do is to look at the choices closely with regards to your FEHB. You do have the choice to enroll in Medicare, hospital insurance and medical insurance that mean Part A and Part B. So that is one choice that federal employees have. When they retire, they enroll in Part A, they enroll in Part B, and they know that FEHB wrapped around Medicare, and they know that this is almost a comprehensive package of benefits that they have. But then we tell them that they have even more choices, and they said, okay, so what does that mean? Well, Medicare itself has two choices when the individuals enroll. They have a choice to kind of stay in that Part A and Part B, hospital and medical insurance, which is administered by the federal government, right? It's a federal program. We also allow Medicare beneficiaries to enroll in private plans. They call Medicare Advantage plans, and they function very similar to our FEHB plan, right? You have one card. Most private health insurance do. They have one card. When you use that card, when you go to the hospital, to the doctor, to the pharmacy. So it's Medicare Advantage is kind of an all-in-one package of benefits similar to our FEHB. And many federal employees did not know that this option is available to them. And they asked, so what's there for me? So if I enrolled in Medicare and I enroll in one of those private plans, Medicare Advantage, how does that compare with my FEHB? You know, how would I get a return for my investment by enrolling in these type of plans? So we tell individuals that those plans is all in one package, right? It has hospital, medical, prescription drug. For next year, the average monthly premium for those plans are $21 a month. So that's a low monthly premium for individuals to have all of those benefits, mainly because Medicare Advantage plan pay for everything that Medicare pays for and more. So this is available to federal employees too. And I tell them, after you retire, if you wanted to try one of these plans, you can go to medicare.gov, answer a couple of questions, type your zip code, and it'll tell you all of those plans that are available within your area. And again, the average monthly premium for next year is about $21. So when you compare that with your FEHB plan, see the benefits they offer and see if you like to try one of these plans. If you like to try it, you can enroll. And while you are enrolled in those plans, you can suspend your FEHB plan. That means you don't pay premium, but your FEHB plan is there on hold. And you tried out this Medicare Advantage plan option, and you can stay enrolled in those plans for as long as it's working for you. If it doesn't work for you at some point in the future, you could always come back during open season or at another time if you happen to move out of the plan service area and so forth. So I go back to what I said in the beginning, Bob, maximizing your benefit, the choices that you have there. And certainly under both options and staying in the original Medicare administered by the federal government and having your FEHB wrapped around Medicare is a great choice. And also you can try the Medicare Advantage to see if you save even more by enrolling in one of those plans and suspending your FEHB.
All right, let's say that an individual or a family has the plan that they feel is best for them, and everything is fine, but then up pops something that isn't covered by that plan, and it's going to impact somebody for a period of time. Would they then have to wait until the next open season to enroll with a plan that would meet their needs, or can they do it earlier?
Well, the best thing to do when, for example, when we talked about Medicare Advantage plans, if you're enrolled, let's say I am a federal employee, I retire, and I enroll in this great Medicare Advantage plan, and I only paying, I don't know, $35 a month on saving because my FEHB plan monthly premium might have been $150. So I'm saving quite a bit every month. Let's say I need a medical procedure, and the plan said that they may not pay for that medical procedure for whatever reason. I could always appeal that plan decision along with my doctors and healthcare providers. If I believe that this is medically necessary, you could always appeal the plan decision for the plan to pay for that service, so that you have that option there. And of course, you know, if after you go through all the level of appeals, it's still, you're not able to get coverage, unfortunately, you do have to wait until the next open enrollment to be able to disenroll from the plan and choose another plan. There are other times, that you can get out of the plan. For example, if you move out of the plan service area and things like that, change the circumstances, you may be able to get out of the plan. But otherwise, your first step is to file an appeal. And if that doesn't work, unfortunately, you may have to wait until the following year to go ahead and change plans. But when I talked about Medicare Advantage plan, keep in mind that, again, those plans are bound by all of the rules that Medicare has, that if it's a service that is covered by Medicare, the plan have to cover for that service. If it's a service that was not part of the original Medicare program, then the plan may or may not cover for those services. So that's a great question, Bob.
Good. So somebody, you know, I'm paid to think like this, but let's say somebody's very happy with their plan. They don't have any physical reason to say, I want to switch to this other plan. But the real reason is the premium's a lot less, and they feel that they would get the same thing. So you can't go in and say, I want this other plan because it's got a lower premium. There has to be a medical issue. Am I correct with that?
No, actually, you can change plans for whatever reason if you do it during the time frame that we allow. When we talked about individuals that are enrolled in the Medicare Advantage plan, for example, we gave individuals an additional 3 months after they make that decision to make changes to those plans. So, for example, during this Medicare open enrollment from October 15 through December 7, let's say I went in and I enrolled in plan Y, and, you know, the effective date will be January 1st. Come January, I went to the doctor and I found out that, you know, my doctor decided to not participate with that plan anymore. I was like, okay, so now I am stuck with this plan. The doctor said he's getting out of the plan. You know, what can I do? The individual can, we allow that individual through the end of March to go ahead and either get out of that plan altogether or switch to another plan of their choosing. So we, in Medicare, we have that an additional 3 month window to give an individual a chance to try the plan that they enrolled. And, you know, going back to what you said, let's, you know, I enroll in a plan now and it becomes effective in January. And then I talk to my neighbor in February and my neighbor say, oh, you know, I have a similar plan, but I'm paying, you know, 50% less than what you're paying for your plan. And I say, oh, so I didn't know about that plan. I wonder if I could just go ahead and change to your plan. And the answer is yes. You do have until the end of March to go ahead and switch to another plan of your choosing. And we're talking about the Medicare plans. We're not talking about the, you know, the FEHB plans. I think after you make the switch and it becomes effective in January, you're not able to change those plans until the following open season, unless you have a qualifying life event.
Okay. We've talked about choices. We've talked about Medicare. Did we hit Medicare enrollment? Did we cover everything you would want to there? Because I'm sitting listening. I try to pretend that I'm in the audience, well, I guess, which I am. Did we cover that?
So we did touch a little bit on enrollment, Bob, when we were talking about, you know, what options do you have? How do you go about enrolling in Medicare nowadays that, you know, we're still in the middle of a pandemic and Social Security office in-person services, most in-person services are closed. We were talking about enrollment in Medicare. Those individuals that are becoming eligible for Medicare and they want to enroll in Medicare, how can they go about doing that? So we did talk about the initial enrollment period around your 65th birthday, but if you are actively working and covered under your FEHB, typically individuals do not enroll in Medicare, specifically Part B, until they retire. That is because they usually have to pay a premium for Medicare Part A, which is the hospital insurance. That's the part that comes at premium-free for the vast majority of people. And that's the part that individual usually takes around their 65th birthday, even if they're actively working. So mainly the question from federal employees come about Medicare Part B because it's the part that they have to pay a premium. So everyone will have to pay a premium for Medicare Part B, which is outpatient services. So people ask along the same line in terms of enrolling in Medicare Part B, what's there for me with regards to benefits? So that's the part that I usually pause a little bit and talk a little bit about. What can you expect from Medicare Part B? What services are there that may be limited under my FEHB or they may not exist under the FEHB plans? And I use, for example, there are many services under Medicare Part B that may not be as comprehensive under FEHB, such as, you know, when you talk about home health care services that include, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech language pathologists, services that as we age, they may become more necessary to help us remain active and functional, such as physical therapy. And physical therapy is for anything, right? So as you get older, you start getting joint, pains, muscle aching, stiffness, joint stiffness. You get, knee replacement, hip replacement. All of these things you would need physical therapy to get back in shape. And those services are somewhat limited on their FEHB, and you also have out-of-pocket expenses. It usually depends on which plan you have. You may have to pay about $40 every time you go to get a physical therapy. And if you get it three times a week, that's $120 a week. So, that adds up, and the service could be limited. And, for example, those services under Medicare Part B are offered at no cost to the individual. So Medicare pays 100% of those services, and there's really not limited on the amount of services that individuals could get. So that's just one example. And so the individual asks, Bob, what's the price of Medicare Part B, right?
Yeah.
What is the price? Would I get a return for my investment? So that is where we need to kind of guide the individuals. Okay, so there is a monthly premium for Part B, and it's based on your modified adjusted gross income, which is not a line on your taxes. And you probably are familiar with the modified adjusted gross income, Bob.
So I think I've calculated it a couple of times, or the computer did it. Yeah.
Right. So the Medicare Part B premium for the majority of people is about $144.60. But it's also it's based on the modified adjusted gross income. If you make more than $87,000 as a single tax filer and more than $174,000 as a joint tax filer, it is likely that you will pay slightly more on your Medicare Part B premium. So you have to do a cost analysis. Medicare Part B monthly premium, you have to pay that every month, and each individual would pay the premium. So there is no family coverage on Medicare. So when I talk $144 for an individual, if you are if you're a couple, each person will pay $144.60. So it is important to take into account the premium. That's about $1,700 a year on Medicare Part B premium. And of course, if your income is higher, you would have to pay more for your Medicare Part B. But again, not look just at how much you're going to pay on the premium, but how much extra benefits you will get by enrolling in Medicare.
Okay, you reminded me of something. It was a fair number of years ago, and an individual was exactly what you were talking about. Their premium was based on their income being no more than X. Well, in the 1 year they took out, it was like $25,000 out of the thrift, and they took it out of the taxable thrift. And I'm not saying anything bad about the thrift. It could be just as much an IRA or something like that. But it kicked up their premium for the next year. Yeah, they were unhappy, but I don't, excuse me, I don't know that they could have done without the distribution, but I certainly don't want to introduce taxes into this, but I just remember that. So if anybody's listening and they go, I didn't know that. So it could be on an unknown thing. But again, how does anyone know that January 1st each year?
Right. No, it is important. It's like I said, I mean, it's an essential part of decision making to make sure that you do a cost analysis. When people ask me about Medicare Part B premium, and what is the best way to go about understanding what would happen when I go ahead and sign up for Medicare? How would I know how much premium would I pay? What happened if they say that I have to pay more? What can I do about that? Because usually people enroll in Medicare after they retire, and the way that Social Security go about calculating the monthly premium is by sharing your information with the IRS. So when you enroll in Medicare, if I enroll in Medicare now, Social Security will send that information to the IRS, and the IRS will be looking at the taxes that you filed 2 years prior to determine whether your Medicare Part B premium may be higher. So you're thinking, well, I'm retired now. 2 years ago, I was working and my income was much higher. How can they go about charging me more? Because that's not my situation anymore. So Social Security, first of all, Social Security will always tell individuals in advance what are they going to be doing. So there's going to be a letter that comes out, for example, to me, David, you enrolled in Medicare. We share your information with the IRS. They said that your income,
David,
2 years ago.
We have 30 seconds.
All right.
I was so captivated to listen to him. Final wrap up in 20 seconds.
All right. Well, bottom line is Social Security will always keep you informed up front about what you can do if that's not your situation. And the last thing that I wanted to leave you with is the fact that you're not alone in making decisions. If you're confused, if you need assistance, please give us a call, 1-800-633-4227, and we have people standing by 24/7 to help you with your Medicare question and direct you in the right direction.
Outstanding, David. Thank you. And we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP and sponsored by WEPA. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. This show can also be heard on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search For Your Benefit. Thanks for listening.